Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the baptism of our Lord, it comes from our gospel reading of Luke. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. In the name of Jesus. We heard the part just before our text back in the season of Advent. If you can remember that far back, the beginning of December somehow feels like an eternity ago. Well, at the same time, it seems to have gone by in the blink of an eye. But nevertheless, that was the part where John, he first bursts onto the scene and makes straight the pathway of the Lord by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to the people of Judea. And all the people, they flocked to him to hear this message of forgiveness and to receive this baptism unto repentance. And so, yeah, I guess it does kind of make sense that during John's ministry, the crowds are a little confused. They can't help but wonder if he is, in fact, the Messiah, whether or not he is the Christ. But John, he knows his place. He knows his vocation. He's well aware that his job was to be the forerunner, and that was it. And his birth showed this. It was a miracle in its own right, his mother being barren and both of his parents already in the twilight of their lives. But even the miracle of his birth, as miraculous as that was, paled in comparison with the miracle of Jesus' birth. A married barren woman giving birth is miraculous, but it's nothing compared to a betrothed virgin giving birth. And his baptism, the one that we get to see at the beginning of all the Gospels, that was only a foreshadowing as well. There was no Trinitarian baptism with John. That's going to be set up later with Jesus. But when the crowds come, they rightly do wonder if John is that Messiah. And so when they do, John makes it clear that he is not. John baptizes with water alone. But the Christ, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's because the one who is to come, this Jesus, who will shortly make himself known, is mightier than John. So much so that John doesn't even count himself worthy to stoop down and untie the sandals that are on this Christ's feet. Which kind of sounds like a strange sort of way to describe the whole situation, but I suppose we can make sense of the fact that John is saying that he's not even worthy to be the servant of the Messiah. He wouldn't even be able to touch that guy's feet. For as Isaiah the prophet says, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, and publishes salvation. But John, he wants to make it absolutely clear that in no way, shape, or form is he the Messiah, the Christ. Instead, Jesus is. And John's going to point to this Jesus. And he's going to say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's John's way of showing the people who Christ really is and what the Christ is really going to do. But at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, God the Father, he too has his own words to say. And the heavens are open. Jesus stands in that river with all the waters of baptism rushing all around him. And the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. And it was there for all present to see this Jesus, this God become man, this Son of the Father is anointed as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Lamb who would take away the sin of the world. And the Father declares that Jesus is his beloved Son. Divine Son from all eternity, now also human Son, born of a virgin, and in these waters, numbering himself with the sinner. The Father is pleased with this Son of his, because he's about to publicly begin his Father's business. And as we've said prior in the sermons of the Christmas season, the Father is only in the business of salvation. And so that means that his Son, this Jesus, this God-man standing in the Jordan, is in the salvation business too. And that's why John isn't worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. Because John isn't the one who came to redeem the fallen world and all of us sinners that lie within. John doesn't have a part in actually bringing us back and buying us back from eternal death and the wrath of God's damnation. He's only given the task to point to it, to point to Jesus and say, there, right there, that man, that one's the Christ. That's the one that you've been waiting for. He's your Redeemer. He's the one who's actually going to buy you back. And so the Father, he's pleased with the Son, because the Son has numbered himself with the sinner. Not only has he taken on the fallen flesh of man, but he subjected himself to John's baptism of repentance, even though he had no need of repentance, no need of the forgiveness of sins. But in that Jordan River, Jesus has shown himself to be the Redeemer, because he has now made himself to be like us in every way. As Paul says, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is God incarnate, while at the same time, Jesus is sin incarnate. He's both. Only and always, so that you might become the righteousness of God. It's all for you. Jesus' baptism, it's all for you. And that's what it means to be the Christ. That's what it means to be the one who's going to buy us back from sin. That's why the Father is well pleased in his Son, now become man, because he's now become sin for man. And if we go back earlier in our text, when it describes the type of baptism Jesus will baptize us with, we get to hear John say, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, one thing to point out here. Jesus baptizes us with the very same baptism that he is baptized with. A spirity, fiery baptism. Now, this might be a little bit confusing, because in our text for today, while we did see the Holy Spirit clearly there, present, descending on Jesus in the Jordan, you might be wondering where the fire is. Well, don't worry, you didn't miss it. You didn't miss it because it's not there. Not yet, anyways. But it will come. Because later on in Luke's gospel, we get to hear about Jesus talking about his baptism. It's in chapter 12. It's long after this whole Jordan River stuff. But the Jordan River baptism isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about his fire baptism. And so he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. And at that moment, in Luke chapter 12, he is in distress because the culmination of his coming, the time in which he's going to actually do the buying back stuff, it's not quite yet at hand. But his anticipation is great because he knows that when that baptism of fire comes, he will finally have accomplished everything. His redeeming work will finally be done. And you, along with all the rest of mankind, will finally be bought back from your sin and death and eternal damnation. That baptism is going to fall on Jesus, and it's going to hurt. Say what you will about the crucifixion, about all the excruciating agony that would transpire as thorns tore through his brow and whips raked across his back. Say what you will about nails being driven through his hands and his feet. All of that would be horrific, absolutely. But other men had gone through that before, and other men would go through that again. And so just the cross isn't exactly what Jesus is talking about. The baptism that he's awaiting, the baptism of fire that has been promised to him since all the way back with Adam and Eve and they fell into sin, is the baptism of God's wrath. And yes, it is there upon that cross when his temporal body is receiving the worst form of torture that the Romans could ever dream up. But it's there that he will actually be receiving an even greater torture as the full wrath of God is laid upon him. Because in Christ's Jordan water baptism, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him, he was anointing him for the fiery baptism of the cross. Because sin needs to be destroyed. It needs to be burnt up. Sin needs to be reduced to dust and ashes, and only the fires of hell can do that. But the fires of hell are not flames that lick the feet and singe the hair, but the fires of hell are when God the Father turns his face and completely removes himself from the sinner. That happened to Jesus, to the one who had been made sin. At the cross, that's where that happened to Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? Those are the cries of the beloved Son who's beloved no more because he's sin. And those are the cries of the incarnate Son receiving the wrath of God. Those are the cries of sin incarnate receiving the fiery baptism that will finally redeem the whole of creation, will finally buy back the sinner from sin, will finally buy back the fallen from the clutches of the demons, will finally buy back the dead from their graves. And John the Baptist, he couldn't hold a candle to the Christ. Because John the Baptist couldn't be the one to accomplish all of that. All that needed to be accomplished for you. But John would most certainly point you and me and all the people waiting there in expectation in our text for their salvation to the one who could and would accomplish it all. Now, I mentioned earlier that Jesus baptizes us into the same baptism that he was baptized with, the Spirit one and the fiery one as well. Well, the Spirit one happened right there at that font. Or maybe it was someplace else at a font like that. Maybe it was even in a hospital room. But in that baptism, the one where water was placed upon your forehead and the triune name of God was placed upon you, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You received the sure and certain token that God had placed his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit name upon you. And there's no reason that you should ever doubt that. God said it, and so God made it happen. But what about that fire baptism? Is that one for you too? It is. But not in the way that you might think. The Apostle Paul asked us a question in our epistle reading for today. Do you remember what it was? Oh, wait. Kidding. He asked, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" That watery, spirity, triune name of Godly baptism that you received right there is also the very place that you received the fiery baptism. But it's not your fiery baptism. Instead, it's Christ's. Your baptism connected you to Christ in the most amazing sort of way because it connected you to his death. Which means that it connected you to the very time and place where Jesus received the fiery baptism of God's wrath poured out upon him for your sake. At the cross, Christ received the full punishment for your sin. All the fires of God removing himself from his beloved Son, burning him up as the sacrifice needed to redeem you, to buy you back from eternal death. Which means that at your baptism, you received the gift of salvation bought and paid for by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why Jesus earnestly desired to be baptized into the fires of the cross, so that you would never have to be. That's also why Paul says that you are baptized into Christ. Sin disturb my soul no longer. Satan, hear this proclamation. Death, you cannot end my gladness. Baptized into Christ. Meaning that Jesus hasn't just conquered these things for you in some sort of mystical, magical sort of way. But that even now, today, tomorrow, to the day of your death, these great enemies as they try to fight you and rip you away from him. You get to wear your baptism as a pledge and as a seal that he is with you always in the very midst of your struggles, promising that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, that his forgiveness and his cross and life and salvation are yours right now, already, even in your struggles, especially in your struggles. Bloody water baptism sealed. Fiery cross sealed. Stone rolled away from the tomb sealed. Christ says that you are that type of baptized. Because that's who he made you to be. That's your reality. You're baptized into Christ. Into his death and into his resurrection. Which means on that day when you were baptized and every day afterward, because baptism is a forever thing, because Christ is forever raised, never to die again. On that day, God looked upon you at your baptism, and he said the very same thing that he said about his son at his baptism. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. Because of Christ, with you I am well pleased. In the name of Jesus.